Blog Talk Radio.
You know, I couldn't get myself off mute. For some reason, I couldn't get my own self off mute. I kept pressing the button, and it wouldn't take me off of mute. Good evening and welcome to the TMGS. It's a special edition of the Michael Gaze Show. Tonight, look where we are. We're in the 2020 election. And tonight, the nation will choose either a new president or keep the one that we already have. It's like a TV show. That's what we're dealing with. The time is now 10 p.m. on the East Coast. I think it's 7 p.m. on the West Coast. And today is November the 3rd, 2020. And you're listening to the TMGS broadcasting live. Decided to do this special edition because I'm watching a lot of the networks and they're really staying on the presidential numbers. That's what they're on. They're really on, you know, as far as what Biden got and what Trump got, and, you know, but a lot of the networks, and I do jump back and forth, are staying on the numbers in the presidential elections. Now, seeing that the polls have closed in the East since about most of them, about 7 p.m., there's some that are still open, quite a few that are still open. And it's interesting that the numbers that are coming in, the ones that I'm looking at, some are surprised. So we're going to, you know, this evening, we're going to try to look at the Senate race, the House. As I said, you're not getting much information on that. They're pretty much concentrating on the presidential race. But it's interesting to see these numbers come through. And then when you look at the numbers, you got to look at, the percentage of polls that are reporting. That is very important. And the locations that those polls are in is very important. So we're going to, you know, be watching along with you, play a little music from now and then, keep posts of what's going on. I thought about this and I said, you know, why not? So let me open up the mic to the lady of the house, Janet Davis. This is our first special show. And I think it's very important for us to do this because this is definitely, definitely a historical election. And I did some research and found out that there's been only four since 18-something, only four have been contested. Now, we know about the one that happened back with, you know, Al Gore and, you know, Bush. But the fourth, I didn't realize that in all the years of the presidency. So, Janet, how you doing?
Hanging in there, hanging in there. I feel like I had a flashback so far. And I know it's still early, but...
It is early.
Yeah, gosh, you know, I was looking at, I think it was South Carolina,
mm-hmm.
and that didn't look too promising, you know, but there's other states to go, so.
Yeah. Well, let me give you the update on South Carolina. Lindsey Graham at 55.2%. Jamie Harrison is at 43.4%. They already projected that Lindsey Graham is going to keep his seat. And also Mitch McConnell is going to keep his. That's interesting. But what got me was when I looked at, well, this has been going back and forth. Kelly Loeffler here in Georgia, Republican. Raphael Warnock, let's see, with 53% reporting. Kelly is at 28.7. Raphael is at 28.5. That is a close race. And then I look at all the people, you know, below that. Doug Collins, who's a Republican, is at 23.2%. He's still in the running in a sense if you really think about it.
Mm-hmm.
23 ain't that far with only 53% reporting. And then I look at here's Deborah Jackson, Matt Lieberman, Tamara Johnson, Janisha James, Derek Grayson, Annette Jackson, Candace Taylor, A. Wayne Johnson, Joyce Slade, Brian Slowinski, Ed Tarver, Richard Winfield, Alan Buckley, Al Bartel, John Fortune, Michael Green, Valencia Stover. All of them were running for the same position. I never heard of most of these people here.
No,
never seen
an
advertisement. Never seen an advertisement. At the bottom of the list is Valencia Stover, 0.3%. She got 6,624 votes. Now, in all honesty, I have to say, you got to be really convincing to get 6,000 people to believe in what you're saying, and you're nowhere near winning this.
Was she a writer?
Excuse me?
Is she a writer?
She's an independent. Michael Green is an independent. Those two are independents. John Fortuyn, he's Green Party. Al Bartle is independent. Alan Buckley is independent. Richard Winfield is Democratic. Brian Solowski is independent. I mean, you know, I never heard these folks. Never have.
Mm-mm.
I wonder in other states, how many folks. Yeah, that's interesting. But as I said, Mitch McConnell has been projected to be the winner against – it just shifted on me. Let me go back to it. Where it was, Kentucky. Okay, here it is. Mitch McConnell with 58.2%. Amy McGrath had only 37.8%. So I don't know. That's interesting. Now this is based on the Senate if I go to Michigan, I think it is. I'm pulling up. Let me go to Michigan. Okay. So
what chart are you looking at?
Excuse me?
Top 38 or?
No, I'm on a live Senate race. I pulled this up on my phone. You can Google it. Live Senate race, 2020 U.S. election results, live updates. And this is as of 8:10 p.m. this evening. This is from the Associated Press. This is from the Associated Press. So let me make sure I let you guys know that. The key states. But I'm looking at the Senate races. I'm not looking at the presidential because we know that, you know, they're going to keep us up to par on national network. They're not giving us too much on the Senate. They do that little ticker on the bottom, but they don't really talk. Tommy Tuberville, 61% against Doug, which Tommy is a Republican, against Doug Jones. Looks like he's going to get this with 40% reporting. You know, it's a world of difference when you're talking about Senate races in a state, and then you're talking about, you know, presidential. Back to Georgia, though. I really, you know, I have to keep track of what's happening here in Georgia. Kelly Loeffler is still in a really tight race with Raphael Warnock. Now, for you guys who don't know who Raphael Warnock is, he's a pastor. Took over some time ago as a pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. So he's getting Kelly a run for her money at the moment with, like I said, 53% reporting. This one might go into the morning. That's what I'm thinking. They really got to count all those votes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think so too, Mike.
So it's still early. There's a lot of states that are, a lot of polls that are open. You know, of course, it always starts from the east, moving through the Midwest over to the West. Now, when you're talking about presidential, and the president is talking about he wants to call it at midnight. Midnight whose time? His time? That would be East Coast time. So midnight East Coast time is actually 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Western. How do you call an election? Now, if the polls close at 7 on the West Coast, how do you call an election 2 hours later?
Very hard. It's nearly impossible. That's why, you know, only time will tell what this 45 is going to do.
I mean, as we said, you know, this is a historical year. It really is. It's a historical year, not just based on the pandemic, but just everything involved. But then here is a president who has gated himself around the White House. Have you ever heard of that happening before, where they put gates around the White House?
No. I somehow missed that.
Oh, you didn't know about that?
Well, you said, what do you mean by gates? Because there was gates already. Along the way?
Now, if you look online, you can see where they have gated the White House. They have, and it's
it was gated before.
Excuse me?
Wasn't I gated already?
No, well, they put these gates around it, which are perimeter gates. I think they said unclimbable, I think is the term that they use, or something like that. They have been erecting around the White House, I guess, in the event that Donald Trump wins, and thinking that people are going to rush the White House or something. They did that even when there was unrest there on Pennsylvania Avenue. They had put this up, according to the article that I read. But this is not the first time they put it up, but the first time an administration has used this at the White House. But, yeah, they've been out there. The workers, they showed it, have been putting up this fence that's a little bit over 8 feet high. They've been working on it all day. And in the event, I guess, I don't think that they did it in the event he lose it. Well, more so if he won, thinking that Antifa and Black Lives Matter and all these other groups are going to storm the White House. I don't know. But, yeah, they had put an exterior fence system around the White House.
Mm.
And according to what I've read and what I looked at, they did it once before when there was unrest. You remember when he went into the, he went downstairs,
Yeah, in the bunker.
I guess they put the fence up then, too, Maybe not completely around the White House, I guess. Maybe the areas that could be a little more penetrable, type thing. I don't know, but I did see it. I saw the video, and I saw where they have erected this barrier, for lack of a better term, in the event that he wins, I think, not if he loses. So, So let's get to some of the topics. I'm going to go ahead and pull some up. One moment, I'm getting a text in.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to keep okay, I'm sorry. I was just reading the text. That's how come I got quiet there for a minute. Let me go ahead and look back on the board again. And you know what? My phone has been acting really crazy for the past couple of weeks. I don't know why.
I got to clear a lot of my memory. I don't want to have to buy more memory, but it's just, it's hard to do things now because you'll think you're sending an email and it won't show up. You put something in Drive, but it's hard to retrieve it. It's just craziness.
Right. Exactly. Okay, so let me jump over here and pull up some of these notes here. One moment. I have to scroll down. Okay.
While you're doing that, I almost feel like I should have just taken a sleeping pill and went to sleep and just waited for tomorrow to see what you're supposed to kind of be.
Because this is
unreal.
Yeah, well, the articles, the articles that you sent me, we already know that the narrow leagues are over with on that, those ones, but here's what I want to pull up here that I asked you to look for. And this is election night. So everybody is sitting back waiting to see what the results are. But remember I asked you about reading the article from Fred Price Jr. to look that up because I had read it. And this is kind of interesting. This is what Price Jr. said. Who is the son of Pastor Fred Price, who was the pastor of Crenshaw Christian Center. From my understanding, he moved up, in the ranks, for lack of a better term, as a what a bishop, I guess, and his son took over. So I don't know why my phone is acting crazy again. Okay, let me pull that back up again, and hopefully it'll stay where it should stay on the article. All right, so though voting is over with, Christians can, and this is what he says, Christians can abstain from voting because voting lesser of two evils is still evil, Fred Price Jr. says. So let me read a little bit of this. While encouraging Christians to vote your conscience in the upcoming general election on November 3rd, which is today, prominent California megachurch pastor Fred Price Jr. said that a conscientious decision can include absentation because voting, quote, for the lesser of two evils is still evil. Quote, some of you have decided I'm going to vote for the lesser of two evils. Hey, if that helps you sleep at night, I get it. Do you know that you're still voting for evil? The lesser of two evils is still evil. It's just less evil than the other evil, said Price, who leads Crenshaw Christian Center, adding that he still plans on voting this election. He was responding to the question, how should Christians vote, on Facebook Tuesday, and I believe that was last week. The quote is, saints, this is why we are a people called out of the world, and our system is the kingdom of God, regardless of who is in the White House. Yes, I believe that a particular candidate may be more of a benefit to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I do not see in any way any candidate that's ultimately in favor of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So once again, like I said before, you need to vote your conscience, Price said. Incumbent Donald Trump and Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden are currently the choices presented by the two major political parties, and recent poll from the Pew Research Center suggests deep disparities in how Christians and other religious groups interpret the lesser of two evils. What's your thought about that one?
About the it being the lesser of two evils?
Mm-hmm.
I never really. I kind of disagree with it. You know, first of all, they always say you don't mix politics with religion, and our country is based upon having a leadership. You know, we have a democracy. We don't have a it's not a banana republic or a dictatorship. So I feel if we have a leader, I want it to be somebody who is honest and upright, something that we haven't really had in almost 4 years, you know. So I just never really thought about mixing politics and religion together. So I don't know if it would be the lesser of two evils, because if a person is a good person and he's living right and doing right, why would he be evil if he was running for an office to make things better for the people and not just for himself?
Right. Well, they do say that, you know, what you just said, politics and religion, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that goes back to the term separation between church and state.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I find that interesting when they say separation between church and state. I don't get it, because I see stuff every day where there's a correlation between the two, or it's accepted. If you look at, well, let's just say like money,
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with church, right?
Right. Well,
currency. Nothing to do with
money. Money has nothing to do with church. Church has to have money in order to stay afloat.
Right. But then, okay, on a dollar bill, what does it say?
In God we trust.
Okay.
I think that's what it says. I'd have to look. I haven't looked in so long.
It says, in God we trust. Then you look at what people say that, what is it, that pyramid there is like a Illuminati, you know, folks, all these conspiracy theories that come out.
Oh, well,
you know,
because of the eye, it's like the Masonic.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mason, Freemason.
Right, so, right. Exactly. And then let's look at something else. You go to a courthouse, they have some of the same things. Justice is blind, they have Lady Liberty there, you know. Do you swear to mm-hmm. to tell the whole truth, so help you who? God. But that's not separation between church and state. Because
mm-hmm.
when you say so help God, the courthouse is a state run thing. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're right.
It just sounds hypocritical to me that you still put God into it, which God should be in everything. So separate the state, but you can't because you're in state court, you're in federal court, and it's all what? State or federal run.
Right.
How did we get to that point? How did we get to that point?
I don't have a clue.
Right. And I'm not trying to go off track of what we're doing, but those questions have always hit me, and no one has been able to explain. If we claim there's a separation between church and state, how did church and state become all one? Because this is a Christian nation? No, this is not just a Christian nation. Because
we're a melting pot. Yeah.
Right. This is a nation of all kinds of religions. But if you get in trouble, you go into a courthouse that says, so help you God. Who's God?
Mm.
And don't
wow.
get me wrong. I'm not trying to question religion. I'm trying to question, you know, what are you speaking of? I mean, what are you talking about? If I was a person from another country, I might believe in Buddha. You trying to tell me, you know, your religion? I may not be a Christian. I'm just saying hypothetically, because
mm-hmm.
I am, but hypothetically, you have to put yourself in that person's shoes. If they get in trouble and they go to court, they could question that same thing. Well, what God are you talking about? Your God or my God?
Well, it's just like some people say they're Christians, but they only time they really are a Christian is when they need help from God or they go to church. It's like religion. You can't just pick it up and for just a couple hours and then put it back down and go do your thing. You have to live a certain way and let your light shine to draw others to you and in turn to draw them, you draw them to Christ, you know.
Okay.
So I see a lot of people who be in church and even when they do the benediction, you turn around, half the church is cleared. I'm like, that was quick. They don't stick mm-hmm. around, you know, because I know they probably have other things to do, but you shouldn't be going to church also for just entertainment. And a lot of people do that.
Oh, that's very
it's
true.
Like
there's
going
a
to a concert. Mm-hmm.
Right. They just wanna, right. There are a lot of folks who go to church
for the show. And a lot of churches do put on a show. Unfortunately, they don't give you the word. I learned that a long time ago. Because I, remember I told you, I was a drummer when I first came to Georgia. You know, that was back when they had, what was it,
I was at that church.
First and third Sunday, and then the other church, you know, I think it was it was one church did first and third Sunday, and then the other church did second and fourth.
Right, but it was the AME, and it was the African Methodist Episcopal, and then the Baptist.
Right, and the Baptist Church. And they were just a railroad track away from each other. Less than, you could drive from one church to the other in less than 5 minutes. And it was AME, and it was second and fourth for the Baptist Church. And I remember the keyboard player, he played for both of them. And then when they hired me at the AME church to play the drums, then they asked me, well, can you come and play for us on this Sunday? I think it was the choir anniversary. I said, okay. And I did the choir anniversary, and they're like, oh, Brother Gay, we need you to come over here and play every Sunday with us. And I'm like, okay. So every two Sundays of the month, you want me over here, and then I'll be every two Sundays of the month over here. Mind you, I wasn't getting a dime. The keyboard player was getting paid by both churches. I wasn't getting a dime, right? But I did.
Wow.
But then I think they, you know, the keyboard player at the time, he said, Mike, man, they need to give you something. I said, well, you know, we'll see. So they started doing what they call a love offering.
They took up a love offering for you.
You know, they would put the plate out there for the church and be like, now, brothers and sisters, Brother Gay is not a member of well, this is a Baptist church, not a member of the church, but he comes over here and claims us. So we're going to pass the tray around one more time and give him a love. I'm like, oh, okay. I think there was like $30 in that plate the first time.
Michael, you took words out of my mouth. I was going to say what they collected, about $25 or $30.
Hey, it was choir anniversary. Plate was packed, and I got $30. But hey, it was $30 I didn't have, you know. I'm like, you cheap. I ain't going to say the word, but okay. I just opened up the mic. We do have a friend of ours who's chimed in on this special edition of TMGS. It is election night, and everybody's going to be up, I'm sure, watching. Time and Chip, how you doing, my brother? Thank you for calling in.
I'm good, man. I can't be with you long because, you know, I work tonight, man, and, you know, I work in the city.
Okay.
So I just want to... How are you, Jen?
I'm doing great, and glad to hear your voice.
Yeah, I know Mike tried to catch me the other night, and I was I worked 10 to 6, so I was getting my Z's in. I said, you just dinged in. I said, let me give him a call, and you know, I'll just say a few things. I'd like to be on there longer, but you know, you gotta get that nod in before you go into this job.
There you go. Right.
That's right.
I was just going to say that last I checked, Biden's doing pretty good. You know, the places that we know he's not going to win, North Dakota, South Dakota, Arkansas, you're not going to win that. But the main ones is Philly. You get Philly. Even if he lost Ohio and won Philly, even if he lost Florida, okay, if he's close in Florida and close in Texas, but if they're waiting on the votes of the black vote out of Georgia, if they can get
that
black vote in Georgia, then they're going to do, he'll do well there too. And as I was saying to somebody, they said, well, man, you know, we can't wait. They were saying to me that they wanted to, want Biden to be transparent. I said, you know, I just want homeboy gone. I want
right
gone. I
so
want
do
some
I.
presidential. Yeah, I just want him gone. I want the family out. I want all the whole pandemic team, what he's done to our society, and I mean the fact that like nobody sees anything that's been done. What you did to our doctors and the pandemic. Do you know New Zealand has no virus?
Yeah.
You know, you got places like New Zealand. Canada is at a drop. We have the best of the best, but we have, I really believe, and what pandemics do is that they expose the inequality in our society, expose where we don't have humanity. And one thing about it, people just become the selfishness and the individualism. Even though we're very social creatures, you ruin, you know, so much. And when you stir up the hate, you know, the racism, now they don't even wear hoods anymore. Ain't nobody wearing no hoods, right? They out front.
No.
They out front.
No, hood, no cane.
No. You know, they showing up with guns and talking about kidnapping governors. And, I mean, when you stir that type of stuff up, you know, and you got folks who are just as blind as they are, all they did was, you know, they keep talking about, you know, make America great again. They talk about patriotism and all that stuff. You know, that has nothing to do and just, it, you know, with a lot of what America was about. Because when you holler all that stuff, if there was, then, you know, you wouldn't have let Ronald Reagan cut so much of a chunk of the taxes to rich folks and corporations. And he sent your job overseas.
That's
and
right.
So you, and he got rid of the middle class. Okay, that's the reason why you had a middle class, because you made the corporations and the you know, the rich pay their fair share, you know. I mean, you already, how much money do you need? Jeff Bezos has $100 billion. Bro, how much more money do you need? You can't spend it all.
And why can't we have an in-between? Why does it have to be the have and the have not? You
and
know.
There was. But they allowed, you know, you have, and for so long, poor white folks have carried the pails for rich folks. They've been conned for so long, and they've bought into that trickle down. And then also they're afraid. They keep forgetting we were built. This is an immigrant country, okay? But they're afraid of immigrants. You
right.
know, I mean, so you can't have it both ways. When they start talking about, you know, the welfare state and welfare. White folks, more white yes. folks on welfare than anybody. It wasn't black
right.
people.
And that's,
it just,
and
so
that's
the media played into that.
Right.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. What I'm saying is that where, you know, if this is a country of immigrants, and the majority of people who are here that are running this country are offspring of immigrants, but they're afraid of the new immigrants. You follow me? Because people
right.
are leaving those countries because they're being murdered, they're being massacred, and this, that, and the other. Now, I truly believe, yeah, you can't just let somebody come and just come into your country without not being documented, whatever, you know. I agree on that. But you don't put the kids in cages. You don't separate the parents. There's over 500 families, kids, that are separated, and they can't even find the parents anymore. You know, that to me... It's just like the pandemic.
That's a good point.
You're not managing the thing in the right way. You didn't manage it in the beginning, and so if you didn't manage it in the beginning, you really don't give a shit about how you're managing it because it's still going on.
But, Mike, you make a good point. Why are they leaving their country?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know why? Because America is controlling those countries. Those people don't leave Guatemala and Nicaragua because they want to. The CIA years ago, countries like, corporations like the United Fruit Company, they controlled all of Central America. Since 1855, America has been involved in controlling those countries. And those Cubans that are coming over here, you know, they can, I mean, they drank the juice. They're mad at Castro, but you know, Cuba was about to be your other Las Vegas. Okay, so why is it that Canada, Germany, and Japan still do business with Cuba, but we don't? You know why? Because we wanted to control Cuba, and other countries just wanted to work with them. China still works with Cuba. Russia works with Cuba. Okay, we praising Russia. Now, you got mad because Obama went over there and worked with the Cubans and opened it up, but the Russians have been doing business with Cuba for years.
Mm-hmm.
How come all other countries can work with Cuba, but we can't? Who did Cuba send all those doctors? It was Cuba that sent those doctors over to Italy and helped them with their problem with the pandemic. You see,
right.
It's all in the propaganda and the selling of the deal. And if the people don't know the history of why people are leaving those countries or coming to America, we always had something to do with it. Okay, you can't go into these people's countries and blow it all up and then turn around and expect their people to stay where they are. Okay, you're trying to rebuild nations. A lot of those people packed up and came where? They came to the United States. A lot of people in Afghanistan, Syria, all those countries where we went in and bombed the hell out of their country, right? Those people came here. And who got mad? That white boy got mad. He's the one that got upset. But guess what? You had Mexicans that went that you cut a deal with that if you go fight in the war for your country, you'll be given citizenship here. What did Trump do? As soon as he got here, he cut his throat. He mistreated them. You can't have it both ways. You can't tell people they can come here and that they can't. And you're not going to sell me on, Mike, that immigrant is my problem, that he's taking my job. Okay, when you got a boy, one dude who's worth $100 billion. He got $100 bill. Okay, that food and did more damage to your country than that immigrant who you mad at.
That's right.
Okay, hold tight.
Go ahead, man.
Simon, there was an issue that happened when I put together this show. I did put together 120 minutes. I'm seeing that the stream is showing I only have 19 minutes left. Something had occurred. You know, yeah. Oh, I'm telling you, some crazy shit has been happening today. And so if we do get cut off, I'm going to go ahead and pull up another show so we can finish out. But, yeah, and I mean, Janet, you know, you have access to the board. You can see where I have in 120 minutes, but it's only showing 19 minutes left. So let me see if the board keeps running. I mean, we can still talk to each other, and people, I believe, that are on the chat room. I see Grace in Hawaii has chimed in. Hello, Grace. Thank you for chiming in. Let me see if this goes through. But if my on-air stream goes dark, that means it's not actually on air. And, Grace, I'm pretty sure if you're listening through the Internet, you'll let me know. But, yeah, it's been some crazy stuff going on today. Uber drivers, Lyft drivers, a lot of crazy stuff has been going on with them, which I talked to a few folks who said, yeah, there was some crazy, shady stuff going on. But, Timon, I want you to go ahead and finish because I know you only have a limited amount of time with us.
When you were talking about the racial makeup and all these things are doing, I even said, I don't care who you got in office, okay? You still got to do what you need to do to hunker down, like with the pandemic. The pandemic puts you in a whole different perspective. You got to change your game plan up. One thing about black people, no matter what we've been through, over the years, we've always made that adjustment, whether it was slavery, whether it was, Reconstruction. Then Reconstruction was taken from us. Then we have Jim Crow, civil rights, voting. We've always made the right adjustment to whoever's been in office. We don't let a president say who we are, and that's why I just like for someone to be presidential. I don't want a fool, because that's in office, but I'd like for us to have a, someone that with halfway things, not someone that's going to sit back and let 250,000 people die because you don't want to deal with the situation. And you talk about it's rounding the curve, it's going to disappear. You're going to go against, you know, the epidemiologists.
And you know what?
All these people want all these awards. Go ahead.
I feel like he didn't care because when he found out that it was really affecting more minorities than anything, he probably, I'm trying to put the shoe on the other foot. He probably said, oh, you know, well, this will increase my chances of being reelected if I get rid of most of these people.
But
you know?
He could have done that better. Hold on a second.
It could have been another vision, okay, and we're speculating, but it could have been another vision. I get what Janet is saying. But another vision of where, okay, so if this affecting the minorities, I'll go to them and say, hey, you know what? What I'm going to do for you is I'm going to come with this platinum plan. So in other words, now think about it. Oh, you guys are dying more so? I'm going to come up with this platinum plan to really help you guys. I'm going to start doing more. So it's almost like, I'm going to come up with this so-called thing, this platinum plan, for black folks to feel like, think about this plan, but not about the fact that you are the most ones who are being or who are dying from this virus. Think about my plan for you and your children, your family. You follow what I'm saying? That's what he's very well good at doing, which I've noticed, is deflecting.
But deflect from
the fact of the coronavirus, because he keeps on saying that, you know, the media always want to say corona, corona, corona. He keeps on trying to battle the fact, or he tries to say that, you know, it's just like the flu. Now, he caught the virus. His wife caught the virus. We found out that his son had the virus. But he's telling us, but I got this plan for you and your families. Take your mind off the virus.
That's what got him in trouble. You know what got him in trouble? No empathy. He had no empathy.
That's all he did. Not at all.
All he had to do was show empathy. The man never showed empathy to anybody. It wasn't. You could have showed me, I don't care about the whole black thing, because you still got to represent everybody. My thing is, you didn't show empathy for no one. And
nobody.
That kept you alive, your old ass, like normally people who are obese at his age would be dead.
They gave
him a special cocktail that would cost you $100,000 to get.
That's right.
That cocktail was special. So, you know, he can take all that what he said. Yeah, as my mama said, he's feeding you air sandwiches. You'll never get full. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Never. Them sandwiches ain't gonna ever get you. You still be hungry. Yeah, I just ate 20 air sandwiches. Damn, I'm still hungry.
There ain't no meat in the sure as hell ain't got no bread.
You ain't got nothing in it. And so when you hear that, you know, you got people keep, you know, they just say, oh, you know, he's going to do this for black people. He's going to do, and everybody tries to play upon what somebody did to somebody and everything. That's why Ice Cube got in trouble. Lil Wayne, why? Why would we interview him? Why would I want to talk? Do you think Obama would have talked to Lil Wayne? No. He'll talk to LeBron. But see, my thing is, I'm not looking as you know, even D.L. Hughley even said, why are you going to entertainers? Okay, talk to some people with some substance that's out there that's in the masses talking to the people. Talk to the representatives.
Right.
I don't want to talk to no entertainer.
He's not talking to, and which is interesting, and that question has always been posted, and I've always asked that too. How come he doesn't talk to a Michael Eric Dyson?
Oh, well, see,
you know what I'm saying?
They're not going to talk to the Michael Eric Dysons anymore. We have a problem. I don't know if you've noticed this, and Janet, you can chime in on this one. Do you notice that, and you probably heard it, that more black men are voting for Trump and not voting for and they also, a lot of black men are against Black Lives Matter because it's represented by women. Majority that put it together because there's this whole feminist thing going on, and that's why a lot of them, oh, he speaks from strength. He speaks, and they've also said that the Democratic Party is brought together majority by black women. So when these
You know what? The black women, as you just said, black women did make a major push for Biden, right? I read that article. They made a major push,
right, and
more black women
right.
did. But as far as the black
they
men,
about, yeah,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
He signed the crime bill and put brothers in jail and all this old stuff here. I said my thing is, look, man, supposed to be for everybody. When you go in as a president, you're supposed to be for the blue and the red. But my thing is, you, and it's common sense. The pandemic is bad. Another thing, Mike, is because of our behavior. A lot of times, because somebody makes wearing a mask like slavery, when you hear that come out of your mouth, that's the ignorance you're dealing with. That's unpatriotic. And then you're wondering why. You say, well, hey, man, why is everybody getting sick? You'd rather listen to a clown than listen to an actual doctor. You won't give me the – now, wait a minute. And you got Mitch McConnell, who will not approve the $3.4 trillion, okay, money, so all the businesses and the schools and everybody can have the PPEs and set everything up so you can keep businesses open. You won't give me my money, okay? And then you turn around and you say that you lied to me. You show out all this disinformation. You accuse everybody of cheating. And you put all this stuff out. So what do you got? Trump will walk away and left you. He just dropped the landmine, all these landmines of confusion. Knowing that.
Okay, let me chime in something. I know you
go
have
ahead.
To go ahead and do
go
what
ahead.
You want to do, but Grace from Hawaii said he got the Magic Johnson potion, right, when we were talking about I guess she's saying, I'm pretty sure she's saying that where as far as Magic having the AIDS and living as long as that. But let me get to this whole point. But most black people, or there are some black people who I know who have radio shows, and I'm not going to mention their names, but they said Biden, as you said, signed the crime bill. I've seen the videos. I've never heard Biden say a particular race. You know what I'm saying? I never heard him say, you know, these black folks. I've heard Trump say about Mexico, which we already know is Mexicans, okay, say they're sending their rapists, they're sending their criminals and everything. So that's directed to a particular race because we know what race lives in Mexico, right?
But what
now,
about
when Biden made his comment? Now I'm not defending Biden for what he said, but what I'm saying is that when Biden said what he said, and they showed it all through the whole thing, right? I never heard where he said the black community or anything or black people. I don't know.
But
I'm just saying.
But you know what?
With
you know,
Lewis,
I didn't hear him say. I didn't hear him say black.
You know
Did
I
you hear him say black folks? I
no.
didn't hear him say that. I'm asking you guys.
Yeah, let me know why. You know why? Because my sister made a good point because I always talk to her. My sister's a former attorney. She said, "Tyman, I'm so sick and tired of them going after everybody." She said, "When crack was out of control, okay." The black folks, as well as the white folks, wanted it under control, and they wanted it out of their neighborhood. And they wanted all, because all the killings and everything that was going on. And when they came through and started locking people up, all of a sudden, and cleaning up neighborhoods, you know, they called Clinton the black president. And these were black folks who called Clinton the black president. They were praising him. And also, guess what happened? When Clinton was in office, Guess who was making all that money? Black folks were making good money. And guess
That's
what?
Right.
He left Bush. He left Bush a surplus. Not only did he control the debt, he left Bush a surplus. Okay?
Right.
And they were praising him. Now, I read the book, The 13th Amendment. I watched the show. Yes, they were behind, and they did came up with the three strikes law. But when everything was rolling, and they wanted all that crime to come out the neighborhood, and with the crack, black folks were standing right there with white folks, talking about we need to get control of all this. And when they
That's
started
right.
locking them up, everything changed. But they were making that money. And they was all involved. They wanted them out of their neighborhood. When they got it out, then they did everything. When Bush came in, Bush brought you what? He destroyed the economy, and then he gave you two wars. Obama comes
That's right.
in. They expect Obama to do this, you know, wave a magic wand and clear everything up. Well, guess what? It didn't happen that way. Also, Mitch McConnell made sure that Obama didn't get jack. He told him, I'm going to make you a one-term president. I'm going to be you. We're going to be the Congress of no. Most of that stuff, Obama had to go executive order on his ass to get
That's
anything
right.
in
done.
His second term. But in his second term is when Obama went, because, okay, in my
No, Mitch came in. Mitch came in.
No, what I'm saying
is
that in the first term, in the first term, it seemed like Obama was trying to work across the aisle. But Mitch came in, and you remember they had that meeting. I think it was like 15 of them. That said, no matter what he does, we're going to say no, right? Remember that. That was the
exactly.
first term. One term, as you just said, one term. Then when he got the second term, and people forget, Barack Obama did not become president two times based on just black folks' votes. White folks voted more so than blacks because they got tired of that old school shit. They got tired of that.
Like
old,
I told
y'all
before, the only thing that got Obama in trouble is his policies were too small, and he didn't take out a big enough stimulus package when he had
the
House
time, right.
and the Senate to control.
Right. And then he lost the Senate.
To clean up everything. He only
right.
he only took out half.
Right.
He should have did more. That's it.
And I blame the black community for him losing the Senate because that was a midterm election, which we
right
don't
also,
show
remember,
up.
They didn't like Obama when they first found out. A lot of black folks didn't care for Obama when he first came out because they said, oh, he don't speak for me. They wanted, and remember, Jesse Jackson was bad-mouthing him at one time, too.
Oh, yeah.
And
right.
Right.
Also,
when he
was,
not just Jesse.
We can go through the list. Also, Cornel West.
Travis Smiley. Yep. Cornel West, Travis Smiley.
And we were listening
Larry
to those individuals at that time. Right. The black community was following those individuals at that time. Am I right?
Yep.
Travis had his show.
So,
now, where the hell are they now? Where the hell is Travis Smiley now? Where is Cornel
Travis
West
Smiley
now?
Fighting sexual charges. Travis Smiley got hit with that. We got hit with that. We got taken down with all the rest of them fools behind that sexual stuff.
Where
yeah,
are they
done,
now?
We'll see him for a while. Yeah, after, they,
well,
after
look,
that girl,
look,
after
now,
those girls were to follow sexual charges on him, Travis Smiley's done.
Okay, let me give you guys a
and
little bit of update. I just want to give a little update now. I don't know how current this is. I just pulled this up. I don't know if it's in real time, but it should be. But as far as the road to 270 electoral college votes to win the presidency, Joe Biden was 118 to Donald Trump's 108. All right, so I'm gonna go ahead and refresh that and make sure that's correct. As far as the Senate projections, the Democrats have 41. They need 51 seats for the majority, and the Republicans have 42. I'm going to refresh
hey,
that
and
too.
And I also say this, Mike: if we get the Senate, they can cancel Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now here's one that's really close. I want to get you guys a response on this here. That here in Georgia, because well, Janet and I live here, and pretty much most of the co-hosts live here, but
Raphael Warnock against Kelly Loeffler. Wow, this is interesting. 28.8 to 28.4, Raphael ahead. That's
four,
really close.
4 points.
4 points. Okay, so now I'm down to, it says 90 seconds. I'm going to go ahead, and it's going on 11 p.m. Hey, you guys, if you're listening, what I'm going to do, I'm going to upload another show. It's going to be part two of this show, and we're going to come back live because I really want to schedule it, if they allow me, to run till at least 12:30 p.m. Eastern time, because I want to see if the president decides to go ahead and call this election at midnight, which he says he will probably do. So as we wind down, I'm going to go ahead and pull up another show. You should be seeing it soon. And call back in. Give me about, oh, give me about 15 to 20 minutes and call back in, and we'll have a part two of this conversation. Timon, I know you're busy. I know you got to go. You get a chance.
Yeah,
back
I'm
in
going.
You
can last my little nod in, man, before I go to work.
Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it.
Yeah. Thanks for calling in.
You got
I appreciate it,
it
man.
You have a great night. Okay.
All right. Hey, we'll be right back. I got 10 seconds. You're listening to the TMGS here on the TMGN. We'll be back in about, give me 15 minutes.